Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We're having a little problem with the guest that we're trying to reach, so I want to do a favor and ask you to just bear with me for a minute here while we try and connect with our guest, who, by the way, was with us last week, and I am so excited to have her come back with us. So we're going to have to find out if she made the connection or if we made it with her. Some kind of a telephone glitch we've been having. Is she there? Anne, are you there with
me?
You are
I
with
am.
Me. Okay. Well, listen, let me do the proverbial lead-in so everybody know what we're talking about here. Sorry about that. Our guest, as I pointed out, who was with us last week, is Anne Reed. She's an amazing coach. She has her own coaching platform that she works with, and it's amazing what she does and the people that she works with. And we love talking to coaches and executive coaches and business coaches. And we talk to a lot of coaches on these broadcasts, and it's really interesting learning not only who you help and how you help people when you coach them. And I know you work with a broad range of people. It's not just executives. You work with individuals, moms and dads, you know, you name it. What was it? I point out something else, too. I know that you have written the fact that you were coached yourself earlier in your life.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
And you found it very, very very beneficial, obviously, correct?
Yes, I did. And do.
You still have a coach that you work with?
I think any really good coach is always being coached. It helps hold you accountable, help you dig through your brain, get a different perspective, and have someone kind of point out when you're deceiving yourself.
I think that's dramatic to hear. I love that story. Now, I must tell you something. It's rare when I talk to a coach who admits they're still working with a coach. But let me ask you a little bit about what got you into this field to begin with. When you started your career, it wasn't coaching you were doing, was it, at all?
I was more in business, and I do have an MBA, and that's most of my life I have been involved in some kind of investments or securities and real estate. But I always was the kid on the playground that was going out and watching somebody who couldn't go across the monkey bars or something and just kind of walking up and encouraging them and realizing, I guess, just being empathetic and realizing that they were struggling. And when I think back, coaching is more I think about just who I am and how I relate to people. So when I decided, and it's been almost two decades now, I did my first coach training program and have continued to be working with people since that point in time. And I love it. I mean, there's something when one of my coachees achieve something that they didn't think was possible, and you knew you were part of the journey. I mean, that's where I get my satisfaction, get my dopamine rush.
I understand that totally. And I find it interesting you do professional coaching as well as personal coaching. But you've written that our brain is the greatest asset and our greatest liability. And coaching helps people access the higher functioning parts of the brain to kind of recognize when they're reverting back to the part of brain that will do anything to avoid discomfort and start accessing their choices. You help your clients train their higher level brain to work for them, not against them, which is kind
Correct.
Of an interesting statement. But let's talk about who you coach. Let's focus on professional coaching first. Primarily, who do you help in that category? Give me a picture.
It's more executives who maybe are working on work-life balance or they realize that they've attained what outwardly looks like success, and they're still not really happy with who they are. I deal with them more as individuals than necessarily purely business. I mean, they're coming to me as human beings who are dissatisfied with something in their life.
That's kind of interesting, because that's almost like personal coaching, which is what
it
you
is.
Do
I
as
would
well.
Say, and I would say my coaching now really is more personal coaching, though obviously you end up tending to attract people who are go-getters and are trying to attain and achieve and improve. And a lot of times those are the executive level.
So are all of these people young people who haven't, you know, haven't met the goals that they had set out for themselves and knew that they know that they, you know, they need some help and advice along the way? Are they also folks who are older who have made it, as you just pointed out, but they're not happy in their careers? And I'm thinking housewives as well as, you know, women who work in the workforce. But still, they know somewhere something is missing. And they come to you for help. Is that about right?
Yes. And I mean, it's interesting, the practice shifts, kind of like sands and currents and whatever on who you're working with. And the last year or so, I've been working with some recent college graduates. And, you know, you get one and then they refer someone else. And that has been really rewarding, and I feel like I have the opportunity to make a lifetime impact on some things. And I've actually done some skill work with them, like on time management, money mindset. Helped one girl recently prep. She was getting ready to interview with Facebook, and they actually made her the offer during the interview. I don't take much credit for it, but it was fun to be along on that ride. And as you know, if you help someone when they're 20 and you think, hey, they learned a skill they can take through their life, look what kind of impact I had, as opposed to helping someone when they're 60, you just don't have the longevity with it.
You know, it's interesting. You don't think about college students or recent college graduates as ones most likely to look for help in the field of coaching. Because normally you would think, you know, they come out of college, they've graduated, they're full of vim and vigor, and they're ready to conquer the world. And I know a lot of them are having problems because they haven't landed the job they wanted, even though everywhere you read in the papers and in the media, you know, there are thousands of jobs available out there, a lot of openings that companies can't fill. But it's interesting you talk about college students. What brings a college graduate to you, or even a student maybe?
I think a lot of that is skill sets. May end up being more the skills. I mean, just because one of my daughters has severe learning disabilities and low executive functioning, and time management is not one of her better skills. I'm being very generous.
That's
here,
okay. All right. I understand.
I see how much that impacts her life. It impacts her grades. It impacts, it's so stressful when she has a job. I even see it impacting somewhat on her friendships, on her social circle, because if you don't respond back to an invitation or you're not where you said you were going to be on time or whatever, it has tentacles that kind of go out to all areas of life. And so I've become more interested in this area just because of my experience with her, and have done some training around time management and whatever. And I would like to say I've been very successful with her, but I'm her mom, so she can't hear a word I say. So I now help other people's kids.
You know, another thing is interesting. You point out that to potential clients that you have one life to live. Make it joyful. Working together,
yes,
you with them, you'll focus on their their top priorities and create effective strategies to get you there. You're here for them with a strong mix of honesty and encouragement and accountability. And the point is, from getting through the day to a yearly plan or even end-of-life preparedness, you'll do that journey together. You want to focus on happiness, and that really is one of the core things, right?
I do, and it's been really interesting just making the decision that this is going to be my primary focus, at least for probably the next year or two. I'm always open to new things, but two things have come across my desk just in this last week, and one is a comment that I don't know. It just strikes at my heart. It was, and you probably seen on the news, a lady who was on America's Got Talent who died last week after a four-year mm-hmm. battle of cancer. Mm-hmm. But and she went by the name Nightbird. That was her stage name. But she was singing 3.5 months into this battle with lung cancer on AGT. And she said when Simon was talking to her, you can't wait till the hard times end before you decide to be happy. And I'm like, this is someone who's terminally ill and is still out there doing stuff. I mean, it gave me goosebumps because she, to me, is the poster child for living happy as opposed to sad or depressed.
Right.
Such courage and such inspiration. The other that I'm playing around with isn't quite as heart-wrenching, but there was a study of almost 1 million people that came out this past week, and it was, I think MIT was the one who actually reviewed, or the Sloan Management Review article, that asked the proverbial question of what comes first, happiness or success? And that's something I kind of always have intellectually been curious about. And what do you think the answer is? Or is it fair of me to put you on the spot?
No. You can. But I would think people would put success first before happiness, most people.
Most people would. And I have to admit that I would have figured maybe they were equal. But
yeah.
The data is showing that happiness comes first. And happiness makes people more productive, more successful. I think probably just makes them more attractive if you believe in the law of attraction. And I am finding this just fascinating that there's now data to back all this up on really how important it is to be happy in your life. And that doesn't mean you're doing Kenny Loggins celebrate and dancing around all the time. So you can if you want to.
Yeah.
But it's more that, you know, and this is one of my core beliefs. Life is 50-50, 50 good and 50 bad. And so you're always going to have circumstances and things that come up in your life. You know, someone's terminally ill. You lose a job. Your kid's struggling. I mean, whatever it is. But it's really, you can't eliminate those things or avoid them because they will happen if you're a human being living. But you can choose how you want to respond to them and what you want to think about it. And thinking the glass is half full, since that's an analogy people use all the time,
Yep.
Is definitely makes you feel better than looking at that same glass and thinking it's half empty. And there's all sorts of neuroscience now that is proving all this stuff, you know, with the brain chemistry, et cetera, does, which is above my pay grade. But anyway, really interesting how important working on being happy is.
You know, I'm prompted to ask you, when people come to you for help, are they happy at that time? And can they be happy and yet still need coaching? I guess they can, of course,
yes.
In certain areas.
And,
but how do you
usually,
find it? Do you find them happy? in general, or are they miserable?
Some of both. And if they're coming for coaching, I mean, if you are asking me who my ideal client is, it's somebody who's always trying to grow and improve. And and chances are their areas of their life, I mean, if you're looking at spirituality and financial and relationships and jobs and whatever, most of us have a couple of the areas that are just going along swimmingly. But there may be one or two, you know, I say they're either dissatisfaction points or pain points. Because face it, if your life is perfect, you're not going to call a coach.
That's true.
You know, there has to be some impetus or some motivation to make you seek it out, make the call or the email, pay for it, make the commitment, do the work. You're not going to do that if everything is great, if you're totally satisfied with your life.
I'm also impressed by some of the categories that you talk about helping people with. And you mentioned and referred to end-of-life preparedness. That's a category we rarely hear talked about. You know, we talk to coaches who are business coaches or executive coaches or people helping you in your relationships with, you know, your mate or whatever, or dealing with the children. But end-of-life preparedness, take a moment to just tell me how you help people in that category. What would that include?
Well, this really comes out of my own personal experience. I've had a lot of loss with family members and what have you, and usually end up being the executor. And when you're that, you see how well prepared financially someone and paper-wise someone is as opposed to someone isn't, and the chaos that's left behind. And to me, the end of the life is really two-pronged. And one of it is taking care of and preparing yourself in some ways. And the emotional piece, and for a lot of people, the spiritual piece. And I have to say, I'm totally grateful to hospice, give a ring out, because I think they do a wonderful job on helping with that. But the other thing is, it's really being responsible to those you're leaving behind. And that responsibility, the better set up you are as far as having, whether you have life insurance and you make sure that the beneficiaries are current and you have a will or a trust, I mean, whatever your own version is, and you've let people know who's supposed to get your great-grandmother's, you know, hair comb or whatever it is. The more that you can do and be responsible, the easier it is on those you love who you want to take care of and left behind. And my mom gave me the greatest gift. She died at 90 in my home. I was caretaking. And she looked at me about 2 weeks before she passed away and said, "Don't worry, I'm really not afraid of dying." And that took so much pressure off of me. It made me not afraid for her to die. And I don't know, I told her that, I don't know if she really heard me by that point, but it was a really interesting episode.
Wow. That advice is so important. I totally understand what you're saying and pointing out. And that probably is something a lot of people don't think about that much. Maybe if they're, you know, they've been around a long time, they focus on it. But, of course, younger people don't think about end-of-life situations. You know,
yes, but who's going to be the guardian?
Exactly.
Who's going to be the guardian of your kids?
Right, exactly.
If you both go in a car accident, or if you don't have kids yet, who's going to take care of your pets? Where are they going?
Yeah.
Does the person that you really want to take care of them have the finances, having paid a vet bill recently, to take care for them the way you want them? you know, it's like those in your circle that you feel responsible for. My personal belief is that that responsibility goes beyond you being alive to the best of your ability to make it easy for them.
Yeah. And is that something you talk about with the people who come to you for help? Do you bring that up?
Yes, I have worked with some people on that.
You do? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's so many sections, you know, different categories. You have one category called manage your mind, which is kind of interesting, and create time. Ever wonder how others get a lot more done than you do in a 24-hour period? You give them help on how to figure out how to do that. That's good, too. Talk to me a little bit about, give me some of your success stories. I know you've got many, but any examples of people who've come to you, no names, obviously, but who were struggling and, you know, they had the bravery to pick up the phone and call you and say, I need help. How would you answer that? Do you have an example or two?
I have a couple, and again, this is all broad brush stuff, but
sure.
There was one person who came to me, a woman, who desperately wanted to have a intimate, lasting life partner relationship, however it looked. And she was doing her dating scenes and kept meeting people and would be excited and whatever else. And then she, in my opinion, kept sabotaging it. And again, I have to say that all of this comes down to managing your mind, whether it's time, whether it's end of life, whether it's being happy or whatever else. That is the very core of my practice. But anyway, I pointed out to her and her not managing her mind that she was sort of everything bad that had happened in the last 3 or 4 relationships, she was dumping on to whoever she was with currently. And the poor guy never had a chance. You know, it's like, oh, somebody hurt me. Oh, somebody did this. Oh, somebody did that. And she was so suspicious all the time and so negative. I mean, in reality, she was trying to protect herself, but it was preventing her from really getting what she wanted or what she said she wanted. Sometimes I find that what people say they want, what they really want, are not necessarily the same, but that's something else we have to tease out. But she had done enough work in therapy and whatever else that once she recognized that, it was like a switch, and she was able to be totally present in whatever relationship she was trying to create and not dump, you know, ascribe all the negative things from the previous ones onto this poor, defenseless guy. It was just fascinating to watch. And it was the awareness. She had no idea she was doing it.
Wow. That's a good example. You know, you've written that you're an accountability partner. You ask hard questions, and you're not afraid to call people on their nonsense. And you teach them skills. Is that kind of a pretty good description of what you're like as a coach?
Yes. And I think for all of us, there are people who are really good coaches for an individual and those who are not so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody wants a drill sergeant, I'm not the coach. I tend to,
okay,
tend to be too nice. I'm also,
yeah,
if you want to sit there and talk in circles and deceive yourself about stuff and not be receptive, I'm not your coach either, because I feel like we're wasting both of our times. But I think I am. I mean, what my clients tell me is I am kind and supportive and really help them clarify things, you know, whatever issues they're working on, and that they really feel that they have not only an accountability partner in a way, but a partner going through some issue that they're trying to resolve.
So the categories then really cover everything. You're talking about personal relationship issues that you help people with. as well as, you know, their situation, whether they need a new job or they're about to move, there's so many issues that come up that people can be helped by someone like you who can give them advice and steer them in the right direction. What's it like, you know, helping people this way? I guess you get a lot of satisfaction out of it, obviously, or you wouldn't be doing it. Am I right?
That's true. As I said, let's be frank, since it's all about the brain, it's kind of the dopamine rush you get when somebody gets it or, you know, succeeds it or lands the job or manages to get somewhere on time or whatever it is that they're working on. But it's also just what I do. I do it in relationships anyway, ask my friends. And I don't think I have all the answers. I mean, and I will never tell somebody what to do. But there is so much to be gained in life. I think when you feel like there is someone truly listening to you and seeing you for who you are and accepting that and then helping you clarify some thinking errors or glitches or help you, again, become more happy. And again, that doesn't mean a perfect life. So I think that's really the core of it. I have to watch, I mean, probably my biggest issue is I have to watch not wanting to fix everything for everybody. You know, like if they're having a hard time, get meals sent to them wherever they live or whatever else. I kind of have to remember this is a coaching relationship, and I can't help everybody or take total care of them. So being the mom of adopted girls and tons of rescue animals, that's kind of one of the things I have to watch for in life.
Well, I understand what you're talking about. I was just saying, as you were talking, you're kind of like the, let's say there's a lady who, you know, she's 50 years old. She doesn't know who to talk to. Mom's not there to call up for advice anymore because mom's gone. Maybe you're like the mom. She could pick up the phone and call and get that advice from, you know? Exactly. That'd be right, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be.
Well, that's good. That's good. Everybody could use someone like you to help them out. And what really I find interesting is that, you know, you're not just an executive coach in the business category who's going to teach them how to, you know, berate a vice president that's not doing a good job or whatever. You're a life coach. And whatever their situation is, you're there to help them. And do you find that in general, for the most part, how long, by the way, do you typically work with a client? It's not just one session, right?
No. I am pretty strict now about requiring someone to agree to 3 months initially.
No.
And I do that for me because it takes a while to get to know somebody and scheduling. I also do it for them because it's, you know, I may be good, but I can't fix somebody in one or two calls.
Overnight.
I'm putting
sure
air
can.
Quotes around that. But, you know,
and
if you want to make
let me
change,
interrupt you
it
here
takes
for a, minute.
A couple of days.
You're really good. But I got to get this information out because we're almost out of time. Ann Reed is our coach that we've been talking with. She's based in Bedford, New York, but she has a fabulous website. Go there. It's reedcoaching.com. Reed, R-E-I-D, coaching.com. If you go there, you'll learn what Ann does, how she helps people, how you can personally get in touch with her, and how she can help you. And I must tell you, I think I don't care who you are or what you are, she can be that mom to help you out, you know? Ann, thank you so much. It's been great talking. I wish we had more time, but the clock says we got to go, okay?
All right,
have a
Doug.
Wonderful day.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. You are very, very welcome. Thanks, Ann. Thanks much.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
And That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. I'll see you next time. Till then, take care and be safe. Bye for now.